Today on Focal Point from Mike Fabares.
Your body, you have 60 trillion cells in your body. You can't even fathom that number, but you do. That's how many cells you have. All working together in harmony to make your body work. And think about how it works. Think about the stars. We live in this Milky Way galaxy. They say there's probably a billion stars in. And if you want a calling card from God, if you want in the midst of wondering whether it's rational to believe in God, he says, just look at the world I've made.
If we take a moment to look at the world around us, it won't take long to see the fingerprints of a divine creator. From the remotest planet in the universe to the tiniest cells in our body, creation declares the existence of God. Today on Focal Point, Mike Fabares examines some of the evidence that leads us to conclude that God really does exist. Mike Fabares is picking up where he left off yesterday in a message called, How can we be sure there is a God?
Christianity, as we discuss it, I hope becomes something that you recognize is not only an articulation of things that you believe, but you would recognize we're trying to fill in some blanks that you might understand why we're to believe it. He expects us to think. He expects us to see the rational connection between what we believe and why we believe it. Then the most fundamental question, I suppose, to begin with is there even a God? Why should we believe that there's a supreme being out there? You see, it doesn't make much sense for us to be Christians singing worship songs, carrying Bibles around if indeed we're all alone in the universe. If it's just us, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Would you open your Bibles, please, then, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, a book written by Solomon in the golden age of Israel, 10 centuries before Christ. He stands back and makes a lot of observations about mankind, but one that he makes here in chapter 3 is telling. It's something that all of us can identify with if we just take some time to look around in our culture, to look around in our society, and to look around in our world. Look at what he says, middle of verse 11. Ecclesiastes 3, second half of verse 11, he begins with this sentence, He, that is God, has also set eternity in the hearts of men. People, men and women, all over the world seem to have what he poetically calls eternity set in their hearts. In other words, people all over the world have a sense that there's more to this life than just the temporal things that we see. That there's something beyond the grave. That there's more than just us human beings, that there's some supreme and ultimate being out there somewhere. Oh, they may look for God in different places. They may express him in different terms. They may have different ideas about what his laws and decrees are for man. But they're seeking God. They sense that in their own mental constitution, their own spiritual makeup, there's got to be more to this than just us. In every single country, every single culture, every single language group, every single people group, you'll find the same thing going on. People seeking for God. If you're taking notes, and I would hope that you would, jot this down. Point number one, you and I need to understand, as we look around the world, we need to notice how man is wired. We've always had this sense of God. There's a God, and we've got to discover what he's like. That is the whole explanation for this obsession that cultures have had with religion. Turn to Psalm 14. It says in verse number 1, perhaps a verse you've heard before, it says, The fool has said in his heart there is no God. Now, there should be a footnote, I hope, in your translation trying to explain this word fool. The Hebraic expression of calling someone a fool, particularly in a context like this, is not that he's dumb or just stupid. It's that he's morally deficient. He has a moral problem. And it says there in verse 1, he says there's no God because there's this corruption. There's a tendency to do deeds that are not in keeping with this supreme being, that the supreme being would call vile, and he doesn't do good. And God rejects his behavior, and he just, I don't want to think there's a God. And frankly, for just a moment, if I can really sympathize with the atheist here for a second, there have been moments in my life, more than I'm proud to say, that I've thought, wouldn't it be nice if just for today there were no God? Because in those battles with temptation, in those battles with doubt, there is that sense that in my life, in my heart, if just right now there were none, wouldn't I be able to live the kind of life I want to live? And you know what? I understand that. And you need to understand that. That though the contention in our society is always small, it is an understandable fight because conceding the supreme being comes with a myriad of implications. It's like when I was a kid and used to make those model airplanes. I'd go and take my allowance money. I'd go to Woolworths down there, down the street. I'd buy the model airplane. I'd start to build it. You know, I was never very good at it. Globs of glue sticking out everywhere. Put the decals on. I was a little crooked. But you know, there it was. I'd make that thing, spend an hour or two making that on a Saturday afternoon. I'd stick it on the top of my shelf there in my bedroom for about a week is about how long it lasted until I was sick of looking at it, right? And then in my demented childhood mind, I'd think of ways to destroy it. You know, I would search for, you know, firecrackers or throw it off the roof and have my dad back over it with the truck. Whatever, I would destroy it and no one could really say anything about it. I mean, they could say the kid's, you know, kind of nuts and going to be an axe murderer. Whatever. They could say things like that, but they couldn't make a compelling case for me not to do it. Because if someone were to come up and say, hey, you shouldn't do that, what would my response be? Who are you to talk to me about what I'm going to do with my model airplane? I bought it. I built it. I paid for it. What? Get out of here. You know, I'm blowing it up today. Now, you see, when you and I admit that there is a supreme being, that there is a God, you see, it's the logical person. You've often understood, haven't you, that a lot of atheists seem to be intelligent people. You see, they think through the ramifications of this, and they think, really, if there is a God, wow. I mean, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow because that has so many practical implications for my life. You see, the builder, the architect, the designer, and the owner, he retains the rights. Like the Apostle Paul said, you know, he becomes the potter in that scenario, and I become the pot. He makes the implications that the pot doesn't have a lot of rights. He doesn't have a lot of freedom to go questioning the potter, because you don't understand the relationship if indeed there is a supreme being. But I do understand the argument, because we like to be our own God. We like to be in charge of our own life. We'd like to have a universe where we didn't have to answer to anyone but ourselves. That is a natural thing. That is something that is quite understandable. But if you could look at one more passage, Romans chapter 1. I want to show you that though many people are in the process of doing such with the knowledge of God that is innate within them, that if all else fails, God says you may fight that innate knowledge of God, because you want to do wrong, but you know what? You're never going to get around the evidence that I've left. It's put this way in Romans chapter 1. Look at it with me. Beginning in verse 18, he talks about the reality of God's retribution on people. People that choose to forsake God and his standards, the godless and the wickedness of men. Who, notice this, bottom of verse 18, they do what with the truth? They suppress it. They suppress the truth by their wickedness. That's exactly what we've talked about here in point two. That they've said it would be better for me to do what I want and not be accountable to that person. So because I want to do my own thing, I'll suppress the truth of God. They do that. And though they do that, it says you've got a big problem. Because verse 19, what might be known or what is known, what may be known about God, underline this, is plain to them because God has made it plain. How does he made it plain? Not only internally, but look at this. Verse 20, he's going to point us to another place, externally. He says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, things like his eternal power and his divine nature, they have been clearly seen, important Greek word. This, it's obvious, it's evident, you can see it. It is not something that's mystical or ethereal. It's right there, you can see it. Being understood, another important Greek word, I can really process it. It is logical, it makes sense, noeo, I can process it. They can clearly see what God is all about. They can clearly see there is a God from what has been, what? Made. The things that have been created. So clear are those things. So logical is the deduction from what has been made that if you deny it, you are without, what? Excuse. I mean, really, you have no excuse. God says you may choose to fight that innate draw toward God that God has put in every human being around the planet. And if you choose to try and fight that, you may try to fight it, but you will become an irrational person as it relates to your understanding of your world. It won't make any sense. And he goes on to say it. Look at the next line, verse 21. For although they knew God, I mean, it was clear and obvious, they neither glorified him as God, or neither did they give thanks. But in their thinking, they became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claim to be wise, they've come up with nice theories to try and nix God out of the equation. In their thinking, they become futile, and their hearts are foolish. They were darkened. They claim to be wise, but in reality, they're fools. And they've exchanged the glory for the immortal God, for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. You know, you'll cash in for some other explanation. But in reality, you will be the most illogical, irrational person on the planet. But people still choose to do it. But God says the undeniable truth is, if you look at the world, you shouldn't be able to miss me. Here's a great verse. It's worth jotting down the reference to. It's in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 4. Hebrews 3, 4 really sums up what's being said here in a very simple sentence. Let me quote it for you. Every house is built by someone. Now, I mean, you know, you don't have to open the page of the Bible to find, you know, that, right? Every house is built by someone. And then it goes on to say this. And God is the maker of everything. What's the point? You don't drive down the street and look at a row of houses and go, I wonder which ones of these are made, right? The text is saying, look, if you look at a house and you know it's been made, and if you have any question, you crawl up into the attic and look, it's been framed, you got all these pipes, you got all these cords, this thing has been constructed. If you think that's obvious, then the Bible says, you know what, look at your world, look at your home. Look at this 6 septillion-ton rock that you live on that spins at 1,000 miles per hour, that orbits around the sun at 1,000 miles per second. Think about this. On a 535-million-mile ellipse around the sun. Think about what we're sitting on here. This house in which we live with this roof on the top, this canopy that is protecting us. We have these electrically charged plasmas squirting out of the sun this weekend. You've read about this in the paper, right? And we sit here like it ain't no big deal. I mean, that thing's deadly. Well, you know, we got a pretty good roof on this house, you know, protecting us. We're still having church. We're doing Bible studies. We're going out to lunch. We're doing our thing. And, you know, we're worried about a few satellites out there because they don't have the roof on them. But, you know, maybe we can make them someday to protect them from this. Well, you know what? We're sitting in a house that protects us from that, from asteroids and meteors and radiation. You know, have you looked at the moon lately? Look up at that moon. It's pretty messed up there. Have you noticed that? It's all pockmarked up and it's messed up. Doesn't have a roof on it. God has made this canopy around us, this protecting, it's filled with the right amounts of hydrogen and oxygen to help us to live. The temperature, it's all within the norms that would facilitate our living. We've got everything we need to oxygenate our blood. And if you really want to look beyond the house and start looking at the immediate structure in which you live, I mean, you'll be absolutely astounded. I mean, all you got to do is study a little bit about your body. Your body, you have 60 trillion cells in your body. You can't even fathom that number, but Judah, that's how many cells you have. 60 trillion. In every cell of your body, the average cell in your body has 90 trillion atoms in it. Think about that. All working together in all of their beauty and all that they do in harmony to make your body work. Just one protein. Just think about it. One protein is the most amazing structure in all the universe. And think about how it works. Think about the stars. We live in this Milky Way galaxy. They say there's probably a billion stars in a universe that perhaps there's a billion galaxies in. And it's all working in perfect harmony so that we live today in this wonderful place. It's perfect. And we got a wonderful light show every night. Think about all the things that have been carefully designed and constructed. We have a moon that is 400 times smaller than the sun. But the sun happens to be exactly 400 times further away than the moon, so that on the surface of the planet, we seem to have a really bright daylight and a really kind of soft tinted nightlight. Amazing. Wow, that's absolutely amazing. That seems to have some design to it. Every house, if it's got a little order and design, we say that must have been built. We're looking at our world. And if you want a calling card from God, if you want in the midst of wondering whether it's rational to believe in God, he says, just look at the world I've made. Your body, you have in your kidneys alone 40 miles of tubing in your kidneys. Did you know that? You have in the nerve cells of your body. Your brain sends nerve impulses through your body at speeds up to 200 miles per hour. You have a gallon and a half of blood filled with millions of red blood cells that do all kinds of fascinating processes to make sure that you function. Think about your body. It is absolutely amazing. You have an eyeball that on a moonless night, you could stand on a mountain and see a match lit 50 miles away. That's how precise this instrument is right here in your head. Do you understand that God constructed this. It seems to be logical. I love the guys with the Darwin fish on the back of their car. I pull up to them, you know, I can't always do it, but whenever I can, I like to talk to those guys. They say, hey, who made that? You're assuming to get those letters lined up to communicate that guy's name, to have that chrome paint on it and a little 3M adhesive on the back. It ain't that complicated, but you're assuming someone sat down and designed that and made it, right? And the hand that applied it to the car is one of the most complicated set of servos and muscles and nerve endings. That thing is amazing, called your hand, and you're sticking that sticker on that you're convinced was made by someone, though you've never met him, never seen him, and never seen the manufacturing plant, and yet you're assuming that this thing happened by accident. Hello. Are you being logical about this? The Bible says if you have doubts, then you ought to look around. I put it this way in your outline number 3. Study your world. Whether it's astronomy, astrophysics, whether it's physics, whether it's biology, whether it's geology, whether it's microbiology, study a discipline. Not at the pop high school level. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about studying a discipline and looking carefully at the world that has been constructed, and you will come to the inevitable conclusion, this cannot happen. Now, I've read atheists. I've read people that don't believe in God at all, who have written in their particular disciplines and come to some incredible conclusions. They believe that the world could not have happened on its own. I've read one guy who thinks that maybe an alien came and dropped life down here on this planet. That was his conclusion. Because, you know, it can't happen the way that we've liked to romantically thought of life kind of happening on its own through a process, through billions of years and all that. It just can't happen. And it's funny how more and more scientists, honest scientists in our day, come around to that conclusion. Have you watched that? Even if you're just, if your science is made up of Newsweek and Time magazine, you'll still see it. Because what you'll see is article after article, year after year, and decade after decade, where all these theories keep moving and changing and forming and evolving, if you will, into things that look a lot more like Genesis, if you've noticed. And we've stopped this uniformitarianism about the history of the planet, and we start to believe there must have been cataclysmic events. There must have been a beginning. We used to think, well, you know, all these evolutionary processes, they came a lot of different places. Now we believe there was an Adam and an Eve. I mean, there was a one genetic parent. I mean, these theories constantly evolve and change, and they seem to be every year increasingly more reflecting the biblical account. That there is a supreme being, an intelligent supreme being, a designer who designed it. Because in any field, whatever it is, whether it's mathematics or probability or microbiology, you study it and you're going to say it could not be the way the high school biology teachers are saying it happened. It cannot be. That's pop level science. It's not real science. And I challenge you to go searching, to go studying. And you know what you'll be overwhelmed with, as this passage indicates? You'll be overwhelmed with the divine power and majesty and attributes of God. You will see it in God's creation. I love the way Jastrow, the director of the Mount Wilson Observatory, Robert Jastrow, he used to be the former director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies. He wrote a book called God and the Astronomers, and all he was doing was observing the fact that all of us, all these scientists in their field keep altering their views without any deference to God or whatever, and they end up getting back to that. Everything seems to get back to that as we honestly do science. He summed it up on page 116 with this quote. It was great. He said, for the scientist who's lived by his faith in the power of reason, the whole thing, the whole story ends like a bad dream. He says he's scaled the mountains of ignorance. He's about to conquer the highest peak, and as he pulls himself up over the final rock, he's greeted by a band of theologians who've been there for centuries. You know, when you hold to the truth of what we not only see in our world, but what we read in the text, that there is a God who's designed us, you're not checking in your brain at the door. As a matter of fact, our world is slowly catching up, and we're recognizing that all the evidence in our world, and not only that, sociologists and anthropologists all recognize that this innate draw of mankind is very difficult to explain. Nay, impossible to explain without the existence of a creator God. Now, we can debate who he is and what he's like. We got to go for a source of information to figure out what he says. But let's at least recognize that for you to believe there is a God is the most rational thing you could ever do. Let's pray. God, help us. This endeavor as we study our world, we think hard about what you've called us to examine if we want to find the rational basis for what we believe. Though most of us here for years, if not from the time we were children, have recognized and understood there is a God. We innately understand that. We haven't taken a lot of, or needed a lot of proof, it seems, but in reality, when we go looking for it, we find it. Behind every rock, behind every research book, in every discipline, God, it's easy to see that you are the creator of heaven and earth, the ultimate and supreme being in our universe that's put us here. And now, God, it is, as we will see in the weeks to come, necessary for us to find rational basis for believing that the Bible is the book that reveals you. And until then, keep us as people who study our world, who understand why people might make objections, but recognize that this is too compelling and overwhelming to doubt ever again. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to Focal Point with Pastor Mike Fabares, answering the question, how can we be sure there is a God? To listen again, go to focalpointradio.org. God's planted evidence of His existence all around us, if we'd only look. Yet so few people stop to ponder that until something forces them to start asking questions. Well, that's why Focal Point is committed to reach, teach, and train believers so you'll be ready to answer when the time comes. Well, Pastor Mike, wow, this past summer you celebrated 19 years on the air. What keeps you going in this mission?
Yeah, David, it all goes back to God's Word and its power to change lives. It is God speaking to mankind, and all the preaching is just trying to make it clear, give it explanation, help people see its meaning, to show how it can be applied. And we are excited when these people write us and they tell us their lives are being changed. I got a letter from a man named Chuck who talked about his life being full of bad behaviors and bad attitudes. He knew the scripture. He went to church. He even been to Christian counseling. It was all less than helpful. And then he writes us about the Focal Point program that he started listening to every day. And he said, you know, it's the first time I had biblical information apparently given in a way that God used to bring real conviction that then brought change to his life. He was in counseling for his marriage that he said was on the rocks. And because of the Focal Point program being a part of his daily diet, it changed his life. It changed his marriage. It revitalized his relationship at home. And I think there's the power of the scripture at work in people's lives.
So true. And we're especially grateful for our Focal Point partners. How do they encourage you every year?
When the partners get together with this ministry and say, I want to partner financially to make this available in my area, to have it expand in another area, that's what makes it possible. If you stand with those who care about the Word of God, its power to change lives, then I invite you to become a part of our Focal Point Partners program, which is a way for you to financially help us every single month get the Word of God out to more and more people. Your monthly gift that you give is really making a difference, and you need to know that as you listen to this program from day to day. It is changing people's lives, and we're so grateful for that. So thank you so much for supporting, if in fact you do.
Thanks, Pastor Mike. To become a Focal Point partner today, call 888-320-5885 or sign up online at focalpointradio.org. And when you do, we'll say thanks with the book 77 Frequently Asked Questions About God and the Bible, Your Toughest Questions Answered by Josh and Sean McDowell. How many times have you debated with someone and wished you had more solid answers to offer? Maybe you're thinking of a person God's put in your life right now. Get this book into your hands. It addresses 77 of the most common questions people have about God and presents a two-page response using impressive facts and thought-provoking logical reasoning. A copy of 77 Frequently Asked Questions is yours when you become a monthly donor or even send a one-time gift to Focal Point today. Call 888-320-5885 or go online to focalpointradio.org. I'm Dave Drewy. Pastor Mike Fabares concludes this message tomorrow, so be sure to join us. That's right here, Wednesday, on Focal Point. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.